Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Some listeners have indicated that they enjoy having an idea of what may be coming down the technological pike in the future. While we once more disclaim any powers of prediction, there are trends that seem pretty likely to continue, and research going on in labs today that is pretty suggestive of what we may see in the not-too-distant future. So, caveats in hand, here's a little whirlwind tour of things technological that will probably affect many of our lives, some within the year, some within the decade. Let's start with a trend that's well underway already and seems to be gathering steam: electronic books. There are, of course, many people for whom the term electronic books is an oxymoron. Cozying up in a comfortable chair next to the fire with an iPod or Kindle in hand to read the latest bestseller or some great classic just seems silly to many folks. But while paper books are not going away anytime soon, electronic books and e-book readers look like they're here to stay. The Internet Archive is digitizing hundreds of thousands of books from some of the world's great libraries, which people will be able to access for free. Google is in federal court right now for its efforts to digitize not only out-of-copyright books, but many others which are still under copyright. More on that in a future program. And some of the world's great libraries, including the British Library and the Library of Congress, are digitizing rare books that most of us would never otherwise get to see. The Library of Congress, for example, recently announced that it was making nearly 60,000 rare books on the early history of the United States and on genealogy available electronically. Many of those books are so fragile that even if we traveled to Washington, D.C. to the Library of Congress, we wouldn't be able to see those books anyway. Now we can, in electronic format. Look for more and more electronic books and book readers to pop up over the next year and beyond. Also, look for companies to try to gather more and more data on you, and for others to try to design ways to thwart such information gathering. Take the recently announced Google Sharing, for instance. This is a service that's available through a Firefox web browser add-on. Its goal is to effectively anonymize your dealings with Google whenever you use Google services that you don't have to log in to use. It won't work if you're signing into a Gmail account or if you're logging into YouTube. What? You didn't know that Google owned YouTube and keeps track of what you watch there too? Well, it does. In fact, to quote from the Google Sharing website, quote, "Whether you were logged into a Google account or not, they know everything that you've ever searched for, what search results you clicked on, what news you read, and every place you've ever gotten directions to. Most of the time, thanks to things like Google Analytics, they even know which websites you visited that you didn't reach through Google. If you use Gmail, they know the content of every email you've ever sent or received, whether you've deleted it or not." End quote. You can find out about how this new service seeks to protect you from the all-seeing eye of Google at www.googlesharing.net. This isn't the only site designed to help strike a tiny bit more information balance between individuals and corporations or government. Look for more of these services to emerge in the future. And speaking of government, it's recently come to light that the FBI clearly broke the law during the past decade by invoking terrorism emergencies to get access to thousands of phone records when no such emergencies existed, and then issued approvals after the fact in an effort to justify those actions. The FBI, of course, for the fourth or fifth time in the last year or two, issued apologies and said that they'd instituted new procedures and it would never happen again, etc., etc. Some folks are starting to wonder how sincere those apologies actually are and how effective those new procedures will be for keeping their private communications private. That's one of the reasons we're seeing the debut of things like the Enigmail project, which has developed a simple add-on for the free open-source Thunderbird email program so that folks can easily encrypt their emails. Look for the tension between personal privacy and government and corporate data gathering efforts to not only continue in the future, but to grow. Not to be outdone, many individuals will probably emulate corporations in their desire to know about another person's personal history. For example, women who are contemplating dating a new fellow may find themselves taking out their iPhones and using programs like Stud or Dud, or Are They Really Single? Two applications from an outfit called People Finders. If you have a BlackBerry or Android phone instead of an iPhone, you can consult Date Check, which has the catchy slogan, quote, Look up before you hook up, end quote. These services work in various ways to provide information on other people, most of it, though not all, taken from public records. Of course, if you happen to have a name that isn't absolutely unique, and most of us do, the possibility of getting someone else's information mixed up with yours definitely exists. That might not be such a big deal if the worst thing that happens is that you don't get a date. But there's no reason that this kind of service can't be used for other purposes. To do a background check for an employment application, for example. Not getting a job as a result of inaccurate information is a whole different problem from not getting a date. There are likely to be more and more of these people tracking efforts in coming years, and more problems as a result. Meanwhile, over in the labs, researchers are forging ahead on developing technologies to enable machines to read minds. It's early days yet, but researchers at Carnegie Mellon University, for example, recently devised methods to tell what specific words, from a list of 60 possibilities, a subject was thinking of, simply by observing the patterns of their brain activity. This may sound like a pretty limited accomplishment. After all, most of us can understand tens of thousands of words. But it's a huge advance in the world of brain science. On the positive side, this kind of technology could, in the future, decode the thoughts of a paralyzed person or an autistic person and add tremendously to their quality of life. On the negative side, well, we leave that to your imagination for the moment. There are, of course, plenty of other new applications of digital technology coming down the pike, and we'll try to point out some of the ones that could have the largest impact on our daily lives, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.